T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Live on tape from 30 Rockefeller Plaza, it's the Late Night with Seth Meyers podcast. Today, join Seth and his guest, actor Jeffrey Tambor, who also takes a few more questions backstage just for this podcast. I'm your guest announcer, hey now, Hank Kingsley, and now, Seth Meyers!
President Trump is making a renewed push to get Democrats on board with his agenda, and today there was some confusion over whether he and Democratic leaders were close to an agreement on protecting the DACA program that allows undocumented immigrants to remain in the country. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. After repeatedly failing through the first 8 months of his presidency to pass any major legislation, Trump has been making a renewed push to court Democrats to support his domestic agenda. On Tuesday, he hosted a group of Democratic senators at the White House for dinner, including West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who seemed as impressed with Trump's presentation as he was with the food.
Senator, I hate to pry. I really do. I hate to pry, but did you have one scoop or two scoops of ice cream?
No, we had... Let me tell you, the ice cream was so perfectly prepared. The ice cream came beside the dessert, Gil, and yes. It looked like an egg. And I said, I wonder why I'm getting an egg with my dessert. And I cut into it, and it was a beautifully sculptured ice cream.
Oh, my God. We are so screwed. That's a United States senator talking about ice cream like he's a hobo. It looked like an egg, but then it turned out it was ice cream. So I guess that means that somewhere in the White House, there's a giant ice cream goose laying eggs. What a country this is we live in. The meeting with Democratic senators comes after Trump stunned Republicans by striking a deal with Democratic leaders Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to keep the government open for 3 months and provide aid to hurricane victims. And last night, Trump met yet again with Schumer and Pelosi about the DACA program. Trump ended the program but hoped to use it as leverage to get funding for his border wall. In fact, yesterday at the White House, he met with members of Congress from both parties and made clear that he wanted to discuss DACA.
And we'll probably also be talking about DACA because we don't want to forget DACA.
Why does he say things like that? We don't want to forget DACA. Immigrants will help us MAGA. We're also going to China. And after their meeting last night, Schumer and Pelosi issued a statement basically claiming total victory. We had a very productive meeting at the White House with the president. We agreed to enshrine the protections of DACA into law quickly and to work out a package of border security, excluding the wall, that's acceptable to both sides. So Trump initially promised that Mexico would pay for the wall. Then he said Congress would pay for the wall. Then he said he would trade DACA to pay for the wall. And now he's trading DACA and no one's paying for the wall. He might be the worst negotiator since Daffy Duck.
Duck season. Wabbit season. Wabbit season. Duck season. Fire!
No. One of the joys of this whole episode has been watching the president's staunchest supporters, people who defended him through all of his most egregious transgressions, freak out about his reversal on DACA. Take Iowa Congressman Steve King, who tweeted last night when the Associated Press first reported the deal, if AP is correct, Trump base is blown up, destroyed, irreparable, and disillusioned beyond repair. No promise is credible. I'm sorry, you're just figuring out that Trump's promises aren't credible now? I can't wait for King to tweet in 5 years, if end of movie is correct, Kaiser Soze was Kevin Spacey the whole time. Today, Trump responded to criticism of his deal from hard-right critics who called it amnesty.
We're not talking about amnesty. We're talking about taking care of people. People that were brought here, people that have done a good job and were not brought here of their own volition. We're not looking at citizenship. We're not looking at amnesty.
Now, you might be thinking, didn't Trump specifically accuse President Obama of giving undocumented immigrants amnesty when he signed DACA? But technically, he never used the word amnesty. In fact, Trump didn't use a real word at all.
He defied federal law and the Constitution to give amnesty to approximately 5 million illegal immigrants.
That's right, amnesty. He probably still doesn't know what amnesty is. I'll make a deal, but I promise no amnesty during the campaign. Okay, but what about amnesty? Deal. Now bring out the ice cream goose. In fact, it's been amazing to watch Trump furiously backpedal on the one thing he promised his supporters from day one, the central promise of his campaign, the border wall. Today he tweeted, the wall, which is already under construction in the form of new renovation of old and existing fences and walls, will continue to be built. And then today, when asked if he would insist on funding for the wall as part of a DACA deal, he waffled.
The wall will come later. We're right now renovating large sections of wall, massive sections, making it brand new. We're doing a lot of renovation, and the wall is going to be built. It'll be funded a little bit later.
Amazing. So the big, beautiful wall that would be paid for by Mexico and begin construction on day one is now old, existing fence that will be paid for later. Because we all remember those famous chants from Trump rallies. What do we want? To renovate old and existing fences. And when do we want it? A little bit later, a little bit later than now. So Trump cut one deal with Democrats to keep the government open for a few months and then had a few of them over for dinner. And now all of a sudden, talking heads are engaging in yet another round of absurd punditry over whether Trump is a Republican or whether he's the independent-minded, deal-making president he billed himself as during the campaign.
You've got the president, who's more of an independent.
Mr. Trump has shown in the nearly 8 months in office that he is, in many ways, the first independent to hold the presidency.
This radical centrism that we're seeing the president exhibit right now.
I think there's at least a 30% chance that if Mr. Trump runs again, he would run as an independent.
Donald Trump has no interest in being part of any party. He is a party of one.
He is, in fact, a party of one.
That's right. Donald Trump is a party of one. Although usually you hear that phrase associated with Eric Trump. Eric, party of one? Can we all please let go of this idea that Trump is some kind of maverick independent who's above his party alliance? Being an independent isn't the same thing as being a rudderless narcissist. And in every political sense that matters, he's a Republican. Just take his renewed attempt to once again revive the GOP's failed plan to repeal Obamacare. Yesterday, a small group of Republican senators unveiled yet another bill that would repeal Obamacare and drastically overhaul Medicare. Oh my God, again, Republicans? This isn't something you hear very often, but play something from the new album. So Democrats now have to decide whether they want to go along with Trump's scam or chart their own path. And many are choosing the latter approach. Senator Bernie Sanders, for example, has gotten some Democratic support for the Medicare for All single-payer health care plan he unveiled yesterday. And while Medicare for All used to be a fringe idea, even within the Democratic Party, it's now very quickly gaining steam with some of the party's most prominent faces.
2 weeks ago, Bernie Sanders had exactly zero co-sponsors in the Senate for his single-payer health care bill, Medicare for All. And then California Senator Kamala Harris announced that she would co-sponsor the bill. So then Elizabeth Warren came on board. Yesterday, another potential presidential candidate became a co-sponsor, Senator Cory Booker. And then today, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand became a co-sponsor. Senator Al Franken became a co-sponsor of Medicare for All. Any one of those senators could be the party's nominee for president or vice president the next time.
Democrats are so eager to win over Bernie Sanders supporters, they're going to show up to primary debates looking like this. Democrats face a stark choice in the Trump era. Trust a president who's repeatedly proven himself to be untrustworthy, or resist his agenda and protect the marginalized people they represent. Trump might be courting Democrats now, but remember, this is a man who not long ago called any attempt at immigration reform, what's the word?
Amnesty.
This has been A Closer Look.
Ryan Reese, audience warm comedian for Late Night with Seth Meyers, here with Sue from Wisconsin. Sue, you just came from the taping. What do you make of Russian politicians going on TV and openly admitting that they meddled with the 2016 election? Do you believe it, or do you think it's just more smoke and mirrors?
Smoke and mirrors. Do not believe it.
You don't think the Russians were involved at all?
Well, they might have been, but all the junk that's coming out, it just, to me, is it's just rhetoric.
Okay, and do you think the media is treating President Trump fairly?
For the most part, I believe they are, and Trump is sensationalizing it, and then it looks like they're not, but I believe they're treating him fairly.
Do you think they're being too critical, or?
No, it depends on the issue. So it's just really not a yes-no answer. His responses to some of the issues are ridiculous, and the wording he uses is ridiculous. But then again, when he does respond to something, and he does so in a very political correct way, then we go back to still making fun of them. So there's got to be a happy medium here.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Before we go on, just wanted to give you a heads up that we'll be releasing a special bonus episode of the podcast tomorrow. Tomorrow, look out for an exclusive interview between Seth and Ezra Klein, editor-in-chief of Vox. Look for that interview in your podcast app on Saturday. Now, let's move on.
My guest is an Emmy and Golden Globe award-winning actor. Known for his roles in Arrested Development and The Larry Sanders Show, he stars in the fourth season of Transparent, which will be available in its entirety on September 22nd on Amazon Prime Video. Please welcome back to the show the very funny Jeffrey Tambor, everybody. How are you?
I'm good.
You look well.
That's nice.
You look hale and healthy.
I am hale and healthy.
That's great.
The only problem is, and I don't mean to be a rude guest, but every time I come here, and I don't understand it, there's a nurse.
Yes.
She is near the elevator, usually. But now she is very close to my dressing room.
Uh-huh.
What's that about?
Well, I think anyone...
And she asked me to put something in a cup.
What did she ask you to put in a cup?
I have never done a urinalysis for a show, and I think that is... No.
But I think, to be honest, she was supposed to get a urine sample from Action Bronson.
And I think there was a bit of a mistake.
There.
That's Emily the nurse.
I'm trying to explain this to you because I think you're obsessed with the fact that there's a nurse at the
show. Well, why is there a nurse?
There's a nurse in case anything goes wrong.
But I've been an actor for 50 years. There's never a nurse.
It's not your nurse, Jeffrey. The nurse is for everyone.
Oh. Not my nurse. Hi, Emily.
Who's Emily?
The nurse.
We have a lot of nurses here. We have a lot of nurses. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Another season of one of the greatest shows in television history.
Thank you.
And the scene we saw, a little bit of setup, because it's a very funny scene that becomes very serious.
Yeah.
But you and your daughter take some marijuana gummies.
We get high.
You get high before TSA.
Yes.
Do you think this is a good idea for people? Would you recommend it?
You have to talk to Emily.
Okay, gotcha. That's true. Now I'm realizing Emily's really going to come
in. Who was as high as a kite when I walked in, by the way. Anyway, I think it's a very telling scene. It's a very and it's a very interesting scene. The whole thing that I like about what Jill Soloway is doing with Transparent is that she's exploring and telling people what it's like and the humanity and what the travails of the transgender community. And I think there is not a more opportune time to be talking about this.
I'm so glad that you're doing it. I feel like the timing of it was perfect.
Can I say another thing?
Please.
We were just sitting, Emily and I, in the dressing room. And I don't know why I'm going on in this. And I have to tell you, just as a viewer, I so admire your monologues. And thank you for the sanity that you are bringing.
That's very kind. Coming from you means a lot. Very kind of you, sir. I, One of the things, of your many accomplishments, there's one that I'm particularly jealous of.
What's that?
You own your own bookstore.
I do.
Which is really, to me, that seems like a very cool thing to have.
Well, I love books. I always wanted to have a bookstore. I had a sort of a thing when I was a young actor in New York. I would, if I made it through the week, and it was tough. I actually did an audition down here. I believe it was in the rink down here. They called me the night before and they for a commercial, and they said, do you know how to ice skate?
Oh, the actual ice skating rink.
Yeah, and I said, yes, lying.
Uh-huh.
And I called my friend, and I said, you got to teach me how to ice skate. And he said, okay, meet me. I said, no, tell me on the phone. Anyway, down here, and I said, I'm so embarrassed. And the guy got up on an A-frame ladder, and he said, okay, this is an audition. There were 200 of us. And I said, I'm going to be so embarrassed. And he said, all right, this is your audition, and skate. And 200 actors fell down.
Really?
That's true.
So that was an era of New York acting where no one skated.
So what I would do every week after that, after the no, is I would go to 57th Street, a double day, buy a book, and then I would go to the Russian Tea Room. Is that still here?
I don't know if it is. I think it is.
Someone just went, woo!
Yeah.
For the Russian Tea Room. And I would get a borscht, and I would read my paperback. Now, but this isn't interesting, is it?
No, it's very interesting.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was until
you're
you
going to have Salman Rushdie on your show.
We're going to have Salman Rushdie
Well,
on
he
the
is
show.
In my bookstore on September 17th.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
And do you like that part of it, that you get to meet authors?
Yes, I do. And I read my book. Remember I was here last time?
Yeah.
I read my book in my own bookstore, and that was fun.
That's great. Well, yeah. I feel like if you couldn't have gotten an engagement to read your book there, something would have gone terribly, terribly
that
wrong.
That would have been bad, right?
And now we're not interested in this. You have four kids who are in school right now.
I have five kids. I have an older daughter in her late 30s. She's 41. And then I have... Then I have... What do you have?
Keep going.
This is about you, apparently.
Well, I was just saying... I said you have four kids in school right now, and you said, actually, I have five kids, and then immediately you
she's
mentioned...
she's not in school. Yeah. Well, actually, she teaches school.
Okay, so I was wrong. You have five kids in school.
Right. I have to confess to something. This is true, and I was talking to your producer about this. I was helping my daughter Eve, who is 10, with her math. And I said, well, what you do is you carry. And she went, we don't carry anymore.
They don't carry?
No.
What do they do instead of carry?
Well, I'll tell you what they do. There was a number 2 at the end of the equation. So I said, I'll be right back. And I walked down the hall and I asked Siri.
Oh.
Is that good parenting?
I don't know. I assume I'm going to have to as well.
Yeah, you will. And Siri gave me the answer.
What was the answer?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm on Siri and I'm educating my
kids. When you left to do Siri, when you came back in, did you pretend like you had just remembered it on your own?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, no, but she caught me out.
She caught you. She knew that you Siri'd
it.
Yeah. You, one of the things I also think is exciting about the show is you've been in all these shows that have been very famous over the years. You, Larry Sanders, which you talked about, Arrested Development, now this. Is it nice to have a new generation of people recognizing you for a new role?
Well, I'm 70. Gee, you don't look it. And that's your line. And you have to understand, I did The Ropers, I did Love Boat, I did Kojak, I did everything. But when I did the Larry Sanders Show, they would call out, you know, hey, what happens now is people say, hey now.
Yeah, but you had a catchphrase.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if they saw Arrested Development, they'll say, there's always money in the banana stand.
Right.
Or, and lately, now that I'm doing Transparent, once in a while we get, yes, queen.
Oh, this is good.
So that's all good. I mean, that's a career, is it not?
That's great.
Yeah.
Is it ever awkward when you get recognized?
No, I got people. I think because I'm bald, people think I'm different. I was on the book tour, actually. I was in Seattle, and I was on the 40th floor, and the guy went, "Oh my God!" I went, "Oh my God!" I went. He went, "How's Raymond?" I went, I don't know. How's Raymond? I went, do you think I'm the actor on Everybody Loves Raymond? And then he went, how's Raymond? So there's still more work to be done.
Yeah, there's still more work to be done. But I have a lot of faith that you are the man to get that work done.
I will get it done by the time we come back from commercial.
Such a pleasure to see you. Thank you so much for being here.
And thank you for having me, and thank you to Emily for taking care of
me. Jeffrey Tambor, everybody, the entire first season of Take Care will be available Friday, September 22nd on Amazon Prime Video.
Hi, everyone. It's Sarah from Late Night. I'm backstage.
Hi, Sarah.
I'm backstage here with Jeffrey Tambor. He just finished up talking to Seth.
Do you know that I haven't done that Hank Kingsley voice for almost, well, I don't know how long, but it came right back.
It came right back. It sounded perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know that I did that? I said I was going to learn how to announce when I played Hank Kingsley, and we did like a scratch tape, and that's the one they used. Where I said, hey, look at the audience up there, and
yeah.
And the whole thing. That was all improv, and that's the one they used.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did you take any lessons to sound
no,
like an announcer?
No. I just did Hank.
Just went with it.
Yeah.
It was great. So you own this bookstore. You talked about it with Seth.
Skylight Books.
In California.
California on the east side. It is 1816 Vermont.
And you had this story that we talked about in your pre-interview about a book that you once had.
Mm-hmm.
Called The Autobiography of Larry Sanders,
yeah,
written by
Gary Shandling.
And you recently had it returned to you. Can you tell us that story?
Well, it's inscribed by Gary, and it's a very loving message, and love Gary, blah, blah, blah. But when I opened the package, there was a sale notice saying you got a very, very good sale here. The book is in great condition. I don't know how much they paid for it. And that person sent it to me. But the odd thing is, I don't know who it is who sent it to me. It's a mystery. And I don't know how it got out of my library. It's the oddest thing in the world.
So somebody purchased it like on eBay or something.
Yeah, exactly. And then I called the person who I thought it was because I said, oh, it's this person. And it was the casting director for Big Little Lies. And he said, no, it's not me. And I went, okay, but I really like the show. Bye-bye. And I still haven't found out. Someone says that they know who it is, but I still haven't. Isn't that odd?
Yeah, I think maybe the more you tell it and the more people hear the story, then maybe it will come back to you.
Or everybody will say it's me.
Yeah.
And be lying.
Try and take credit.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm lying right now and that never happened.
So we also talked about some of your favorite authors. And you recently said you had just discovered Junot Diaz.
I love Junot Diaz. Somebody asked me my top five for this thing I'm doing for Amazon, and I led with Lincoln and Bardo,
George Saunders,
yes. whom I love, and then of course American Pastoral, and then I Junot Diaz, and
You said your son Gabriel is into John Grisham.
He loves John Grisham, and I had a book out this year. I have a book out. Are You Anybody?
Go Buy It, Everyone.
Go Buy It, Everyone. And Gabriel went to BookCon with me, and I have a 12-year-old son who loves books. And so he introduced me to John Grisham, and now we have the October rendition, and I love John Grisham. So, I like books. I've hung out around books all my life. I was the kid who went to the library. I loved the library.
Do you think that John Grisham is like, I would think it's advanced for a 13-year-old to be reading that.
I'm asking him questions.
Yeah.
He's my Siri. I ask him questions. He's way, way beyond my ken and my understanding. And he's the guy who wrote The Martian.
Yes, Andy Weir.
Weir. Right? Mm-hmm. Loves Andy Weir. And I think Andy Weir sent him a signed copy.
Oh, that's great.
Of his new book, Artemis.
Yes.
Which is wonderful.
Is that good? Okay.
And I'm not into genres. And he's sort of my mentor in that. So he's leading me.
I love that.
All my kids read. They all love reading. And I couldn't be happier.
That's a nice thing for your kids to want to do.
Yeah.
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 Well, thank you so much for being here. I know you have to head out.
I do have to head out.
I'm going to let you go. But hopefully you'll come back soon.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle @LateNightSeth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.